get ready, because Jesus, He is the chef. He is the chief shepherd. Amen. He's got everything that we need.
Amen.
And our purpose is to, yes, Lord. Paul said when they got born again, yes, Lord, what would you have me to do? See, when we get born again, we're just not born again just to come to church. I mean, this is where we meet, and this is the teaching. This is the school. We come together to learn and encourage one another. But then He says, now go do. Go do what you just heard this morning. Amen. Go lay hands on the sick when they come to your house. And you the pastor, and you got to be at church, and you're in your boxers, and your wife, she's got to get ready. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to do all this? He said, trust and obey. Wife said, come in here and pray. I'm like, I'm printing CDs. I said, well, let me go at least go get my pants and my shirt on. And then said, lay hands. Amen. Be ready in season. 7 o'clock in the morning. There was a knock on the door. I thought it was Ruthie, my daughter. She's been doing all these graduation parties, sleeping with friends. So I figured she don't have her house key. So I'm getting up and I'm in my boxers because the dog's barking. And I open the door and I'm like, whoa, that ain't Ruthie. Wait, let me get the dog up. And I shut the door. Well, you understand, Stevie, he's a little hard of hearing right now. So as I turn around, he's coming on in the door. So I'm like, Sherry, your brother's here. So I know how to get Sherry up out of bed in the mornings now. Your brother's here. Because now I usually say, you're getting up ready, you're getting ready. I don't get that response quite as clear. But she got up and Jesus ministered right there at 7:30 in the morning. When we still in the flesh. Our hair's messed up. We in our boxers. And thank God Jesus is never asleep. He never sleeps nor slumbers. And He's got a sense of humor, right? Jesus didn't walk around. Jesus wasn't sad. Jesus wasn't mad. Now, He was mad when He caught around a bunch of religious folks that didn't believe what He said and made His Father's house a house of merchandise instead of a house of prayer. Jesus got mad. He had righteous indignation. That's a big word, ain't it? He was full of compassion, but He didn't like the devil being in Daddy's house. The world being in a church house, that ain't supposed to be, right? We come in here to get washed by the water of the Word, to go wash the world with the Word. Amen? The world's going to come in here. We want them to come in to get saved, but we don't want them leaving like they hadn't been to church. They hadn't met Jesus. See, it ain't about coming to church. It's about coming here and meeting Jesus. Amen? Because I went to church when I was little, and I really didn't meet Jesus. Now, and it wasn't all the pastor's fault. It was, I just didn't know who I was looking for. I wasn't hearing about this Jesus that was so good, that hated sickness, hated disease, hated poverty. Amen? And then I heard about Jesus. Zacchaeus heard about Jesus. That He was coming, and he climbed up on the sycamore tree. And Jesus saw his faith. Today, I'm going to continue my message that the Lord gave me about the sky is the limit. This is part three. And if you need part two and part one, we have free, say free. Free CDs out here in the hall, the vestibule. And if you need some help, we got some ministers of help here. They'd help you find those CDs. And so you can get part two and part one. And I thought I was kind of, you kind of listen to the Lord and what you want me to preach on Sunday. And I heard Brother Andrew Womack talking about the sky is the limit a couple weeks ago. And that was in my spirit. I said, well, there's the title. And then I went on to part two because sitting down talking to a couple at school, the Lord showed me something else. Well, I think Tuesday I saw a dump truck. Had on the side, sky is the limit hauling. I'm like, I ain't never seen that on a dump truck. Sky is the limit hauling. It's out there, Cabarrus County. I said, well, I'm going to be praying about that because I think that's part three. You know, I'm looking for the message. I'm looking and I'm listening. I got ears to hear. I got eyes. I want to see. I want to see what Jesus wants to, I want to see with the eyes of Jesus. And when you see like Jesus, you don't see sin. You don't see sickness. You don't see disease. You see people healed. You see them whole. Lord, I want to be free of leprosy. Is it your will? He said, I will. Be free. He didn't have to teach a lot right there because he wanted free of this leprosy. See, you got to get dissatisfied with what you have if it ain't from Jesus and be ready to get rid of it. And then find Jesus. He ain't hard to find. Right? He ain't hard to find. You can find him in your house at 7 o'clock in the morning ready to heal sick people, amen? Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be healed, saved, delivered. Man, the sky is the limit to God. And I got to thinking about that. I said, that's really limiting God when I look up to the sky and say, the sky is the limit, because He's past that. Man, He's galaxies out there. He's created galaxies. And He's as close to us as that close right there. The Word is near you. He never leaves you, never forsakes us. And sometimes we get so focused on life and the struggles that we're going through in this flesh that sometimes we can limit God. We can limit Him by our actions, by our attitudes. And we got to forget it. We got to wash that stuff away. And how do we wash it away? By the water of the Word. By washing ourselves, taking a shower. You know, I take a shower maybe every other day. Depends on what I've been doing. Reed, you take a shower every day? I got some bad look right there. I said, maybe every other day, Reed. Depends. I might have had a day of rest. I guess I'm going to have to edit this message, ain't I? I'm talking about boxers, talking about taking a bath every other day. I'm going to have to edit this message. Praise God. We got visitors in here this morning. Come back next week. It might be a different message next week. But hey, if you can't have the church, if you can't come to church and have fun, I don't know if you've been to church. Because Jesus, the joy of our Lord, is our strength. A merry heart does good like a medicine. See, a lot of times you get laughter going on. Next thing you know, God sticks a healing in there. He's able to heal something in your body you didn't know about. Because we're here to glorify God. You know, I'm sure Jesus laughed at His disciples many times. You know, they're called disciples. You know that, don't you? Disciples. Because Jesus would say, do something. And they're like, do what, Lord? Do what? You know, Jesus told Philip one time about the Father, and then they looked back at Him and said, well, show us the Father and we'll believe. Well, Jesus said, I am the Father's in me. He's doing the works. And they wanted to see the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. And they said, well, show us the Father. He's like, disciples. Now, Jesus never doubted that He prayed and God said, pick those 12. I might not have picked those 12. But Jesus always pleased the Father. I'm sure when He picked those 12 and then started walking and working with those 12, you got some people you're working with for a few days, few years, and you're like, am I supposed to be here? I'm sure Jesus maybe had that. See, he had the same temptations and thoughts that we did, but without sin. See, Jesus never sinned. He never let that negative thought about that person get into his heart and make him callous and hard to the work of God. Amen? And see, that's what we got to do. He left an example. No matter what people come around your path or you know, a lot of times God will bring you to a place because He needs that person to hear the good news. Because they've heard so much bad news. We need to hear some good news. And if you can't come to church and hear some good news, amen, turn the channel. It might be time to turn the channel. Amen. I'm not telling you where to go to church. I'm telling you where to go to hear the Word. Amen. Be changed. Be looking for Jesus. If Jesus has been glorified and worshipped, you're in a good place. And I'd call Word of Faith Worship Center a good place. Amen. Amen. Some good people here know how to worship the Lord, hear from God. There was tongues praying in the Spirit this morning. There was tongues and there was interpretation of tongues. You heard my wife give testimony about just say, yes, Lord. Yes. What do we sing about? We sung, yes, Lord. See, you're hearing confirmation that God is working among us. Amen. He's there to encourage us and build us up. You know, one part of our graduation ceremony for Ruthie yesterday, my wife had everybody have cards, and she wanted them before they left to write a word of encouragement or something that the Lord would give them on that card. So when Ruthie goes to school, maybe one day she's having a bad softball day, you know, she's just having a bad day, she could go and she could pull out of that box a word that somebody wrote personally for her at Word of Faith Worship Center at her graduation ceremony, and it'll bring life to her. It'll raise her up. And see, that was my wife. She heard from God. Well, guess Ruthie went home and she went ahead and read all those cards. That's Ruthie, you know. Somebody's giving her something. She wants to know what it is. But the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So if you get a good word, just don't hear it one time. It'll be just as good the second time. Amen? I told y'all before, I'm not much on leftovers and leftists. Really, really something good. Homemade food, homemade desserts are good leftover. But any time you went out and hung out with Jesus and they brought, a little kid brought his bag lunch and Jesus prayed over it and blessed it. Say blessed. He blessed it and it multiplied in their hands and they had 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, if Jesus has got something left over, it's going to be good. Amen? Good. Good leftovers. Before I start this message, I want to tell you a little about a little dream I had last night. Now, we worked all week working hard, my wife did, and putting this party together. And so I had a dream last night. Anybody dream in here, have dreams? Some of them are from God, some of them from the devil, some of them you just ate too much barbecue and you're just dreaming. Reed was in my dream. There was somebody else, but Jim Howard was in my dream. There was chaos. There was a church. I'm not saying it's this church. This is a dream. This is a dream now. But remember, the sky is the limit. The devil don't want you to know that. He don't want you to think that God's got all these possibilities. But we was getting ready to have church. And there was a lot of people. And Reed was in my dream, and I couldn't find my Bible. And Reed said, "Well, you got a video? You got a video?" Reed's like, "We got a video, Pastor? All this, I don't need a video right now. I need my Bible. I need the Word." And then Jim's like, "You know, well, you got things set up. You got things ready. You got a lot of people out here. Pastor, you ready to go?" I'm like, chaos. There's chaos. Didn't have my Bible. Man, people, the church was filling up. And I'm not prepared. I'm like, there's chaos, man. Chaos here. And then I wake up. I wake up to a knock on the door. I can't be late for church this morning. That'd be chaos. See, this is a dream. This is the devil hitting you, buddy. And Stevie's going to be here for hours. You know, I'm thinking about every time he comes, he's here for a long time. I want to get rid of him. See, this ain't Jesus. See, the devil wants to get rid of him. Jesus wants to heal him. Come on now. The sky is the limit, but you've got to take the limits off of God. You got to forget about even church. You're the pastor. I'll call Reed if I have to. Reed, start preaching this morning. You know what Reed would have said? Okay, Pastor. It'll hit him a little. I see things hit Reed sometime, and it shakes him just a little, and then he's like, okay. Because he's got that I can do all things mentality on the inside of him. Reed says, I can do it. He's also served in our military, and they pushed you way past limits, didn't they, Reed? I'm sure they did. Now, I've never been there. But I am a soldier now in the army of the Lord. And I've got to learn, man, there's battles that's coming and I've got to be ready. Chaos is knocking at your door. But you got to return. You got to open the door. Fear don't have no place here. There's an old story that fear came knocking at the door. Fear knocked and faith opened. Nobody was there. See, when fear comes knocking, you got to answer the door with faith. Because fear, darkness has no place in the kingdom of light. Amen. Sickness has no place in Jesus. Poverty has no place in Jesus. And Jesus said, if you are born again, the kingdom of God is... Come on, where's it at? It's within you. That means poverty shouldn't be in you. Sickness shouldn't be in you. Lack shouldn't be in you. Depression shouldn't be in you. Doubt shouldn't be in you. Am I condemning you? No, I'm giving you the word of faith this morning. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. And you got to go to the mirror. God's mirror. His Word. This is where you put on your armor in Ephesians. You put on the whole armor. Don't never take it off. Amen? Because the devil's looking for a weakness in you. Don't never take your helmet of salvation off. Never take down your breastplate of righteousness. See, don't turn it in for an alternate shield. The shield of faith is the Word of God. Amen? And the sword, which is the Word of God. Shield of faith. I believe this Word. That's your shield right there. I believe God said this. And that quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. Amen. And the devil needs to hear you say that. So this dream I had was chaotic, but I knew this was not God. That was not a God dream. Because that's chaos. God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. Amen. God is a God of order. So I'm looking, and it was a good example here yesterday, and as I was doing everything I knew to do, I was planned to do. My wife told me to do something. I said, yes, dear, and I got up and did it. Somebody said, you listen pretty well. See how orders were given. But see, I was doing two or three things I was trying to do, but I got orders. Orders came in. Yes, sir, attention. Don't you act like you didn't hear it. You know, orders, finish it. Didn't do it. And then I forgot all about my thing I was going to play, a little DVD. And my wife said later, "Oh, didn't you have a DVD you was going to play?" I'm like, "Yeah, that was the second thing I was going to do." So we have a God of order that is there to keep us in line when we kind of, this chaos tries to hit us. And God is looking for great things. No, and I am too. God is looking for great things to happen this morning. We're already in the midst of them. Amen. If you're here this morning, you're in the midst of heaven. Miracles. Because God is here. Jesus is here. He's not out there somewhere. He's here. You brought Him in this morning. If you're born again. Because God is truth. He is the truth. The devil, he is a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. So let God arise and your enemies will be scattered. But see, that's a command. You've got to let God arise. I can't get you to arise. The Praise King team can't get you to let God arise. You have to let God arise. And your enemies shall be scattered. Now, people are not your enemy. The devil is. But he uses weak people. And when I say weak, the devil can't come against strong Christians and win. He's looking for the weak ones that don't know the Word. They don't know who they are in Christ. And they think what they're hearing is the truth, but it's not. It's a lie. Wrapped up in fabrication. Wrapped up in deceitfulness. See, that's the devil's biggest thing is deception. He transforms himself into an angel of light, thinking this sounds good, but the ends thereof is death. So you got to put it on the Word of God. We limit God by not knowing His Word, not knowing His character, not knowing His passion and His purpose. And our title, our theme for this was Psalm 78:41. The children of Israel, they limited God. God delivered them out by a strong hand, got them out from underneath Pharaoh's, underneath that tyranny. But they forgot the Lord. They forgot all His signs and wonders. And Psalm 78:41 says, "Yea, they turn back." How they turn back? They turn back in their minds. They quit thinking about all the good things God had did, and they started thinking about all that fleshy stuff, all that good food they had out there, and they thought it was good food back there in Egypt. And they limited. They turned back and they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Limited what God could do. See, God's working on getting them to a promised land. They remembered not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. Remember not, and you'll have not. In other words, if you don't remember the Lord your God, you won't have His promises. You've got to remember Him. Keep Him in your thoughts. Keep Him when you lay down. Get a word out. Praise Him and worship Him. And He'll even be in your dreams, in the visions of night. Because see, the devil, he works. He's the prince of darkness. See, God doesn't see light and darkness like we see light and darkness. See, when we lay down and the sun, the moon, the stars, it's still not completely dark, but it's darker than when the sun's out. When we lay down, God's still awake. To Him, there never is darkness. The Bible says there's no shadow of turn. There's no darkness in Him at all. He is light. But He gave us a time of space to where we lay down and there's no sun in our eyes and we just go to sleep and go to rest. See, our body sleeps, but our spirit is alive. Your spirit never is asleep. It's alive unto God. And at any time, and when you make yourself, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me, Lord." He might wake you up when your body wants to be sleeping. And He'll speak to you. And you'll get up. And you'll want to go to the refrigerator. You'll be like, "I guess I need to get something to eat." And a lot of times it's God saying, "I need you to pray." And say, "Your body wants to go to the refrigerator. I guess I'm hungry." No, your spirit's saying, "Wake up, arise, wake Him. Pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray my word." Somebody's suffering, maybe on the other side of the world, that they're in daylight. They're not sleeping right now. They're going through a battle. That devil's attacking their body. See, that's why I love to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in other tongues. It's praying in the Spirit. You're speaking mysteries unto God, who is a spirit. He is a spirit. Those that worship Him, the Bible says, you have to worship Him in spirit and in truth with His Word. And when you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries unto Him. It's the perfect prayer. And you can be praying for somebody's salvation, for somebody's child that may be dead, that God's going to raise them up. But He needs somebody in faith praying in this earth so He can work and move. Amen? Because if we don't, we limit God. See, God doesn't have a body now because Jesus is where? Who is the body of Christ? We are. Who did God tell that You have a dominion over this earth. Adam, mankind. We trespass. We sold God out to the devil. That wasn't the end of the story. God was raising up Jesus. And He gave Him a body. Jesus took on flesh. And that's how He defeated the devil. And that's how we have to defeat him. In the flesh, by what we say. Amen? That's how we limit God. We don't say what God says. God's for us. He's not against us. But He has to have our voice. And He's not going to take it. He inhabits the praise. He doesn't come in here and... He inhabits the praise. He comes in and inhabits it. When we worship Him, worshiping His Word, He doesn't come in and inhabit fear or confusion. He's not the author. He doesn't have a spirit of fear. So He's not in that. Now, He's still in you. If you're in fear, God's in you. Speak faith out. Fear's got to go. See, fear is a spirit too. He didn't create us with a spirit of fear, love. Fear came in when death came in. Transgression came in. Fear came in. We're not to fear death. Christians, we're not to fear death. We're not to fear it. We don't cling to it. We have life. So as long as we have breath, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, speak life. And then one day our body, when it finally wears out. The spirit man doesn't. He's still alive. Then I just move out and move into heaven. Amen? We just transition from one place to the other. And to a Christian, death has no sting, right? Wasps and hornets, they sting, they hurt, don't they? Ever been stung by one? I've been stung by one. Well, I won't go there. I done gave y'all the boxer story. That's all y'all need to hear this morning. I'll leave you thinking on that one. There'll be another story for another day. But death has no sting over a Christian because Jesus stripped the death in the grave. Death, hell, and the grave, He conquered it. And He made you more than a conqueror. Say, more than a conqueror.
More than a conqueror.
Because you've overcome the grave. See, the grave is for your body. It's not for you.
Amen.
And it's even not for a Christian. That's still God's body. That's His property. It might have a tombstone on it right now. But God's got a new name. He's got a new plan for our bodies, right?
Amen.
Glorified is the plan.
Amen.
I'm looking for a glorified, thin body. I can get to work on this body now on the earth, right? And if I fail in certain areas, God's going to make all that up for me one day. But He says, My Word will do wonders, do miracles in the earth, right? See, we don't need no miracles in heaven. Because heaven is God's throne. It's His. That's where He lives. Amen? There's nothing up there that has any darkness, any decay, rusting. None of that stuff up there. My cars are rusting. Things are rusting. But up in heaven, there's none of that. Amen? So get a picture of that. Don't get used to your house. It might be a pretty house, beautiful house. God's got something better. He got something better. Jesus said, In My Father's house are many mansions. Not trailers. Mansions, right? Nothing wrong with trailers, but God's got mansions for us. I lived in a trailer. Mom was a single mom. That's all she could get at the time. That's fine. God says, I'm doing better. I'm working on something better. Don't get used to that trailer or whatever you're in right now. And also down here, start believing God for better. Amen. He's put that mentality on the inside of us, that spirit of excellence on the inside of us. Ruthie hit 5 home runs this year. Her total season for high school was 14 home runs. God can do better through her. Amen. But you got to set that. You got to take the limits off. That's good. But God can do better. If you're working at a job, you got a minimum wage or whatever wage they got on you, that's good. But God can do better.
Amen.
Don't make that place your source. God is your source.
Yeah.
And don't limit Him. Whether you're retired now and maybe, you know, I mean, you got Social Security come in, that's good. But that's not your source. God is your source.
Amen?
I'm going to buy this CD myself. I like that. Amen? See, a lot of you guys, a little bit older, y'all hitting that retirement age. I haven't got there yet. Oh, yeah, they're free. That's right. I'm sorry. I came by. Praise God. Yeah, I definitely got to edit this. I think that boxer story goes on with that. It goes with that story that I'm a contender. There's a message out there to talk. We got to contend for the faith. Got to get in the boxing ring. So I'll remember that boxing story. I got to work that in to that sermon. Take the limits off God. Amen. Don't limit. And God, don't look to me up here as your source. But leave this place knowing that God wants to do better for you today. See, don't look to tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes, because when it gets here, it's today. Serve God with all you got today. And tomorrow will take care of itself. If you serve God today, God will take care of your tomorrow. If you serve God today, He'll take care of your tomorrow. And your next tomorrow, and your next week, and the next year. Amen. Because see, when God looks, He doesn't just see weeks. He sees decades out in front of us. Amen. He sees your children's children's children. And what you say today over them determines words that God can work in their tomorrows and their future. And no matter what you see, faults, failures, don't speak that over your kids. Speak what God says. What did He say to Gideon? He called Gideon a mighty man. He didn't feel too mighty. But he ended up doing a mighty work for God, because he determined, he took the limits off of what Mama said about Gideon. Well, Mama always said I was going to be a plumber. God says I'm going to be a president of the United States of America. See, those are both great if God's called you to be a plumber. But if God says He's called you to be a president, if you're being a plumber, you're not where you're supposed to be, right? You're supposed to be a president of the United States, because the plumber needs you. The plumber needs work. He needs houses to fix, new houses to plumb. The president, he's got to make sure the income's growing, the economy's growing, right? See, we need each other. Take the limits off. We got to help somebody. See, we limit God by not helping other people. Amen? Because that person could be the person that's going to help your children, your child. There was teachers. I've asked God for forgiveness, because I was a rambunctious, rebellious kid in school, and I treated bad. Now, all your sins are forgiven. You ain't got to confess those sins. But in my heart, I said, Lord, forgive me for treating Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so so bad. Because they were actually speaking life and praying for me. And I went back and I've seen a few of them and got to tell them, you know, thank you for not giving up on that crazy kid. Amen. Because, see, there was a lot of mess that I was in. They didn't know. Some of them knew it. And that's the only way I knew how to deal with it sometimes, is just acting out. You know, when your dad's an alcoholic and he's abusive. And, you know, a lot of times you just want people to help you. You just don't know how to ask for help. So quit looking at the bodies, tattoos, long hair, frizzy hair. Don't look at all that. Look at the heart. See with the eyes of Jesus. Take the limits off. Okay, I got a few more minutes here. Let's look at someone who remembered, talking about limiting God. Let's look at somebody quickly who remembered what God said and believed that God was able to do what He said. Can anybody tell me where we think we might look at? Who? Paul? David, Abraham, there we go. Abraham. Father Abraham. Now, there's only one father. The Bible says don't call no men fathers but God. But Abraham was a father of faith. He's an example of faith to us, because God's a faith God. And when we honor Abraham, we don't honor the man, we honor the spirit of the man. The faith, spirit of faith, that he believed God, and God said, I count you righteous, because he believed what he said. Romans 4:17. Someone who believed God. Now, you have to go back to the Old Testament to read about Abraham, but the New Testament, Paul is telling us about Abraham because he's talking to the Jews, talking to a lot of these Jewish people, that they had something else we heard this morning. This song was trust. Big part of the closing part of this message. Romans 4:17. Says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God speaking to Abraham in the Old Testament. In the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he, Abraham, became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. God told Abraham, you're going to have a child. Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham, they were both old, but Abraham was older. I knew a friend of mine, his dad was 10 years older than his mom. God said, be fruitful, multiply. Did he say, if you're 100 years old, be fruitful until you're 100? No, God didn't put limits on us. Amen? Death is what put limits on us. Death is what killed Sarah's womb, not God. The devil killed her womb. God said, blessed. He blessed them, Darius. God said, he spoke blessing. Be fruitful, multiply. Death was never in the equation. So forget about things. Now, I'm not looking at you if you're 70, 80, and you're done with kids, and the pastor's saying, have more kids. No, maybe your finances are dead. Amen. Maybe your grandkids are acting dead, right? So you still have God's promise. Call things as though they are. Call Johnny saved if he's running out here acting, if he's a child of the devil. If that's your Johnny, Johnny come home. Ain't there a song? Johnny come home. Somebody needs to make a song. Johnny come home. Amen. Call those things you want to happen into existence. Now, it's got to line up to the Word of God. Amen. It's got to be a promise of God, because that's where your promise is in the hope. Abraham, God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. That gave him a promise. Hope. Now, you have to go read the rest of the story. They didn't quite work God's plan the way it did, but God's plan still got worked out. Abraham still believed in God, trusted in the promises. Consider, and verse I want to pull out there, don't limit God. Abraham considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. He knew his wife was past childbearing. That's natural. God is a supernatural God. Amen. He who created the womb that is now past can be alive. Amen. And it happened. Sarah laughed. We laughed this morning. You laugh in your problems away if you trust in God. See, she laughed because she knew her womb was dead, and in that laughter, her womb became alive. Amen? See, laughter is good. We're not mocking God. We're laughing because we laugh at the devil. If the devil says it's a lie, I know that ain't God. I just need to laugh at him. I need to laugh that morning. I'm sure Stevie laughed when I opened the door and saw me in my boxers. I hope he don't go tell the rest of the family what he's seen this morning. I hope he's going out telling them great things that God did that he can see. Because that's what we got to now. Don't let the devil steal your healing. We got to let him know. When people say, well, Stevie, how's your eyesight? Better. Gooder. Amen. I can see. Jesus asked a blind man, after he prayed for his eyes, what do you see? One man said, well, I see trees, men like trees walking. Jesus laid hands on him again. That wasn't good enough. Amen. If you hadn't got from God what you're believing for, don't give up yet. Amen. Take the limits off. Don't stop there. Take the limit off. That ain't enough. God said more. I want to see men clearly. Jesus prayed now. He saw them clearly. Now, I can get on to the next thing God called me to do. Amen. God's got something bigger for us to do, right? I know Larry, he just sold a beautiful, it was a Chevrolet Ford truck he had for years. God's got something better, Larry. So he gives us the desires of our heart. Now, for all purposes, whatever Larry got rid of that car, truck, he did. But God says if you let something go, I give you, you could sow it. You let it go, you actually sow it. God's got something better for you. I had a motorcycle at one time and I sowed it. Ride another one day. Amen. God's working on a big one for me. Amen. A big motorcycle. Tim Sutton is on hooked with the Chariots of Fire. See, they ride these motorcycle rallies. Tim don't ride a motorcycle. He just wears the leather. Amen. I want a motorcycle. I just don't want the leather. See, Tim's getting his desire met. I want my desire. I want me a motorcycle. I want to go ride with Dr. Lynn Mink. He's got a motorcycle team too. He rides in the Smoky Mountains. I like Smoky Mountains. I like riding motorcycles. I ain't done yet. I'm a young man, 52. I still get on one. I don't ride horses, I ride motorcycles. I better check with Sherry. She's laughing. Thank you, Jesus. She's laughing. That means I got it. Right? It's alive. She's laughing. She ain't frowning. She's laughing. Lord's speaking to her. Praise God. Now, whether she rides on the back, that's up to her. Thank you, Lord. See, that's my vision. That's my desire. Right? What is God, getting close to the end here, what has God promised you? That's next. What's God promised you? It might not be a motorcycle. You fill in the blank. What is the promise? Find it in God's Word. Now, you're not going to find motorcycle maybe in here. But He says, I give to my children all things to enjoy. That vision came from a man to make a motorcycle, which came from God. Amen? Now, you can ride it and not give God pleasure. That's anything that we have. You can either give God glory in it or not. I'm going to give Him glory. I've already got my tag, what it's going to say. Live to give to live. See, Harley has a ride to live to ride. But I live to give, given to God. Amen? And I'm sure that'll bring a lot of... They'll be saying, and I don't know if it'll be a Harley, but definitely if that was a Harley Davidson and I had live to give on there, they'll be saying, hey, brother, you know, that's supposed to be ride to live and live to ride. Good time for a testimony and to bring Jesus into it, right? So, you remember? I remember on the cross, they put on top of the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Jews didn't want that up there. He's not our king. Take it down. Pilate said, what's written is written. And He is the King of the Jews. See, write your ticket. What do you want? Sign. It's been signed by the blood of Jesus. You find in the Word, it's signed, it's sealed, it's delivered. It's already been delivered to you. Healing's done been delivered on the cross to you. Salvation, an experience, a relationship back to God the Father has already been paid for. Jesus paid for it. All you got to do is say, Lord, I receive it. Forgiveness has already been paid for. Jesus said, forgive them, Father. That's all sins of all men have been forgiven. All the sin. Once. On the cross. So, God promised you something. What's the promise? Because that is where your hope is. In the Word of God. In the Word of God. Now, what do I do, preacher? What do you do? Trust and obey. That was a song sang. Trust and obey. It's not up to you. It's up to God. Trust and obey. When we laid hands on Stevie this morning, I'm not the healer. Trust and obey. Sow the Word, believe the Word, pray the Word, speak the Word, trust and obey. And let God be God and His enemies be scattered. Because see, when you do God's grace, is His part, that's the power, it's already been paid for, all the salvation. Our part is to release our faith. Faith in that promise, which activates the promise of God. You got God working in it now. And then we have a Holy Ghost explosion, a manifestation. I can see! I can see! What you've been believing for. When you see it is not when it happened. When you see it is when your physical eyes see it. It's when you believe is when it happened. When you see it is when you give God all the glory. Amen. That's when you give Him the glory. You give them glory before, but I'm saying it's when you really thank you, Jesus. God moments, God encounters. Now set your faith somewhere else. Once you got that, help somebody else get to that level, to that place. Amen. Everybody close your eyes. That promise, whatever God, and there's more, there are all the promises in His book. And there's a lot of promises are yes. And you just got to hook up your yes with His yes. And two yeses makes a Holy Ghost explosion. Because God said, if I can get two of you agreeing with my Word, He's there to bring it to pass. Amen? And I want you to, God wants you to have what you in Him, you've been believing for. And you don't have to go work for it. All you got to do is believe for it. But never give up on God. No matter what it looks like. Amen? So, Father, I just thank You. I come in agreement right now. And I thank You, Lord, for this message today, Lord, that we're continuing to take the limits off of what we think in our minds. Lord, there's been barriers right now, and we break those barriers by the Word of God. Father, we thank You, Lord, in the Old Testament there were seers, there were prophets. Well, Lord, we're in a greater covenant. So, Father, I just thank You right now for the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost is...